Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Mark chapter 1. I read for you again these words. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Advent is a season of preparation. But what kind of preparation is it? What is Advent preparing for? The answer makes all the difference. For if we're merely preparing for a one-time shot at decorating, celebrating, eating, and gift-giving and receiving, then we'll miss the real preparation and the main event. If we're merely celebrating an event from the distant past that warms the cockles of our heart, without realizing the fullness of that event and its ongoing meaning and importance in our lives, then we will not prepare properly. For the true preparation we are about in Advent requires us to go out to the wilderness, away from the hustle and bustle of everyday life, away from the distractions, away from the comforts of home, to listen to a preacher who proclaims a message as needed today as it was then. You see, Israel had been without a prophet for 400 years. And then suddenly, one appears in the wilderness. But more than simply a location for John to work in, the wilderness brings to mind Israel's wanderings so long ago. God had delivered his people Israel from bondage in Egypt and promised to give the land of Canaan to them. But when they refused to trust God's promise, they complained that God had brought them out of Egypt to kill them. They did not trust God's word. And so God led them in the wilderness for 40 years, and their children entered the land that God had promised to their fathers. The wilderness had been a time of testing and a time of providing for his people so that they would learn to trust him. But despite God's constant provision and care, the people rejected him and distrusted his promise. And thus the wilderness should remind us of our own soul's condition. The people wandered 40 years because they had turned their backs on God. They did not want God's thoughts to be their thoughts or God's ways to be their ways. And so we find ourselves in the wilderness when we hear God's word and ignore it. When we refuse to take the word of the Lord to heart. And when we refuse to repent of our sin. That is, turning from it, receiving God's forgiveness and bringing forth fruits thereof. We are in the wilderness when we willfully separate ourselves from God and go our own way. So, when John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, the people went out to hear him. It must have seemed rather strange going to see and hear someone who would remind them so much of Elijah in dress and speech. But by physically going out into this dreary, abandoned, wind-dried place, they were acting out with their bodies the condition of their souls. Souls that were equally dreary, equally abandoned, equally dried, shriveled, and lifeless. Indeed, this condition had been brought on by their own sin and unbelief. So John calls them, calling to those who wander in the exile of their sins, to those who feel the weight of God's judgment. John comes preaching to sinners, to those who are in the desert of judgment and condemnation. And yet, John's preaching is not all law. He didn't come only to announce condemnation. He also came to comfort God's people and point them to Jesus. And indeed, that's the hallmark of all true prophetic preaching. As the last of the Old Testament prophets, John preached severe and harsh law, no doubt about it. But he also preached God's salvation and the Messiah who was to come. Indeed, the Messiah who was at hand. And so John prepared the people to receive that Messiah who was coming soon. And thus he declares, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Yes, this mightier one would save the world from sin by dying on the cross. He would take the sin of the world upon himself and suffer the ultimate wilderness, complete abandonment by God. He would rise from the dead and ascend back into heaven. He would pour out his Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Yet, John didn't know all that. He simply pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He simply pointed people to Jesus as the Savior promised long ago. And thus John was to decrease and Jesus was to increase. For John's preaching and baptizing was not about himself. It was all about Jesus. And now Jesus has come. He has given his life as the final sacrifice for sin. He has gathered you out of the wilderness of your sins, and he has brought you into the promised land of eternal life. Though it doesn't seem to be so, his word does what it says, and his promises are as good as done, even if we don't experience its fulfillment yet. He has made you his own dear child in baptism and has given you a foretaste of your entry into heaven. He feeds you with his word and with his very body and blood. And thus he allows you to anticipate that eternal feast in heaven. And yet we still need to listen to John. The church must continually learn from Israel's history. It was after God had delivered them from bondage that the Israelites turned away. Israel abandoned her God after he gave his word of promise, after he had fed her with the bread of heaven, after he poured out for her the living water of eternal life, after he made his continued presence known to her by the appearing to her and dwelling in her midst through cloud and fire. So John still comes preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He still comes to prepare the way of the Lord, because your heart can grow cold, just as the heart of Israel did in the desert. You have not yet fully left the wilderness and still have not yet fully arrived in your promised land. And so you must continue to repent every day. You must continue to mourn your sinful and fallen condition, your very real and specific actual transgressions against God's law. And you must continue to cry out to God for mercy and protection. Above all, you must continue to believe that your God is gracious and that he will never leave you nor forsake you. The church must never stop trusting in the shed blood of your Lord Jesus and must never forget that you have been given the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of all your sins. For you see, John's preaching is for you too. He comes to the desert of your sins, as it were, and he calls upon you to prepare the way for the coming of your Lord, not at Christmas, but at the end of the world. And as he does, he points you to Jesus. After me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. Yes, the one for whom John prepares the way is Jesus, the mighty God of whom Isaiah spoke. He comes for you, not as a helpless infant child, but as the fully revealed, returning and conquering King. Yet, he who is all-powerful became weak for your sake. He whose sandal straps St. John did not consider himself worthy to stoop down and untie, he humbled himself. No enemy could defeat him. No man could humiliate him. But Jesus humbled himself and allowed himself to suffer all things for your sake. And now he is risen from the dead, ascended on high, and he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. This Jesus shall come again. Of this we are certain. When he comes, he shall fulfill the work he has begun in you. When he comes, he shall finally and fully draw you out of the wilderness of your sins, out of the wilderness of this world, and deliver you into your heavenly home, built by the blood of Christ. Until then, dear ones, realize how greatly God cares for you and sustains you in the wilderness of this life. As God delivered Israel from the bondage of her enemies, so also God has delivered you. As he sustained Israel by heavenly food and miraculous water, so also does he sustain you. Holy Communion is now your manna from heaven. Holy baptism is now the water of life provided by God. As the Lord went before his people in a pillar of cloud and fire, never leaving them for a moment. So also does your Jesus promise to remain with you. You know his words well, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. The years of Israel's exile in the wilderness finally ended, and God delivered them into the home for which they deeply longed. As you trust the word of your Lord, dear Christians, so shall it be for you. In Jesus' name, amen.